The Old Testament lesson is from the prophet Isaiah, the 9th chapter. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, and as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as in the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it, with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 2nd chapter. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, for there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I saw it had 15 verses, I figured Luther had to write it, and guess what he did? Never a man for just a few words. Well, there's one nice thing about tonight. We're all done Christmas shopping, right? See, and I'm also kind of hoping that nobody has to stay up too late. You remember the days when you had little kids and you stayed up to 3, 4 in the morning trying to put something together that... it's sick. Or you have to get up so early to cut up vegetables, which, by the way, that's something I don't like watching, this big French carving knife going right near Susan's fingers. All right. And it was nice driving down 31 today or tonight because most of the stores were closed. Now, it's kind of sad they're going to reopen tomorrow, but the crazy rush is done. This time of year is also a time that we think about those who are no longer with us. I'll tell you what the secret to a perfect Christmas is. It's the meaning of the day that makes Christmas perfect. And for different people, they have different ideas of what they think is important. Kids like what about Christmas? Gifts and no school. That's why all parents are happy when school resumes. All right, time off of work. Some people are glad for Christmas for that. Or all the family traditions and food and people coming in. But there's a really sick thing how Christmas is getting defined. You ever seen the ugly sweaters? I'm walking in my least favorite store, and you know which one that is. I don't remember what aisle in Walmart. And this woman had this ugly sweater on with a donkey's rear end coming out of the back of her shirt and the front end of the donkey up here, right here. Now, I wanted to try to figure out, because I wanted to do an experiment when I got home, but it's not like I could take the tape measure that's attached to my car keys and measure. She probably would have hit me. But when I got home, I thought about that. So I held my hand here, and I put a plate in front of me and suddenly realized that old Aunt Bertha, well, you got gravy on Rudolph. Look, he's got a black eyed pea in his mouth. Now, please tell me you are not putting that as part of a Christmas tradition. Nope. Ugly sweaters. All right. Anyways, I got off on. You just had to have seen this thing. How do you sit down with a thing in your back? Anyway, some people will say giving. That's what Christmas is all about. Helping the unfortunate. Isn't that what it's about? Or being with family. That's what Christmas is about. All those things are great things. But there's got to be more. In the business world, this is when they wait for the Christmas season to end, tally up the numbers, and the retail sales tell them if they had a good year or bad year. We also think that during Christmas season, we appreciate our lives and the people that are in it. Again, very good thing, but there's more to it. Best words of wisdom on this I could find was from the great philosopher, the Grinch. Which, by the way, there's only one Grinch movie, and that's with Boris Karloff. But this is what the old Grinch has to say. Now, you never thought you'd come to church to hear Dr. Seuss. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming at all. It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little more. Wow, words of wisdom from a cartoon. In church, we looked at a bit of Micah chapter 5. And I want to reference back to that reading. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is the ruler in Israel. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Those four simple verses out of Micah tell the whole Christmas story. It explains to us why he came and what he was going to accomplish once he was born here. In the fourth verse, it talks about that the Lord is going to be our shepherd. It says, he will stand and shepherd in the strength of the Lord. See, we don't live life with our own strength. When you only try to rely on yourself, what happens? Fail. Oh, there was a point in my life where I finally thought I knew it all. Oh, yeah, I got the sheepskins on the wall to prove it. So I decided I was going to try to live it my way. You know how well that worked? And by the way, God, you ever hear that expression? I know you have. God helps those who help themselves. And then I think it was my beloved grandmother who said, and God help those who are caught helping themselves. See, I know it took a second for that one to click in. But the verse tells us He is our help and our strength. I read a real interesting story this past week of a soldier named Bob Wieland. And he was in Vietnam, and he was trying to get to a wounded soldier out there, large explosion underneath him. And when he came to, he suddenly realized that promising baseball career that he had was gone. It went when he lost both legs. Awesome baseball player. Well, that wasn't going to happen. But he said something. I'd lost my legs, but not my faith. He said that he learned to cast all of his cares on Jesus. And then he quoted 1 Corinthians 1. I do the best I can to apply the word of God to my life because I know it works. This man then biked across America with a specially designed bike. Did a Hawaiian triathlon. At age 70, anybody want to take a guess how much he could bench press? 500 pounds. I'm lucky to pick up 5. But see, he didn't let the world dictate to him. He let Christ say to him, I got you. I will take care of you. This is the kind of strength that God offers. Our lives are not controlled by failures, bitterness, or missed opportunities. And Christmas, by the way, also tells us we are not alone. God gives us a sense of security. Now, the world promises security. You hear all those ads for alarm systems for your house? They're simple to put in. You can put in with a screwdriver. I'd screw that up too. There's a reason I don't work with tools, because I hurt myself. But people look to those systems for safety. They look to the government for safety, their employers for safety. They look at their investments and saying, well, maybe not this last week, the investments are doing really well, I'm secure. But like Bob Wieland, the Vietnam veteran, he found out that the world changes in a flash. The world cannot provide safety. It promises us, but it can't. And see, Jesus brings a lasting security to the world, because He's in control of everything, and He has the ability and power to take care of us. Ezekiel writes in the 34th chapter, I myself will be shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the stray, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. What Ezekiel is basically saying in that text, I'll take care of you. You're going to be safe with me. If you get lost, I will find you. If you stray, I'll bring you back. If you're injured, I will strengthen you. I am your shepherd, and I will take care of you. Hebrews 13:5 tells us, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Jesus says in His own words in John 10, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. The security He brings to the world also is the salvation of the world. Even when we get to that darkest day, and Rose doesn't want to hear this, in about 4 months, when we get to Good Friday, all right, He's still in control, and He's finishing the act of salvation that He started back in Bethlehem. He completes it. Tonight, we celebrate the beginning of it. All right, He also brings a type of serenity, an inner peace. All right, I hate to quote Seinfeld. Stupidest show ever produced. Comedy is only done by Abbott and Costello. All the rest are just fakers. All right. But in this one Seinfeld episode, George's father has learned a relaxation technique where he says, serenity now, serenity now. And then something happens and he goes, serenity now, serenity now. And then he starts just screaming it. And George's friend said, serenity now, that put me in the mental hospital. Serenity now, insanity later. See, if we try to find that inner peace from the world, that's what we end up with. It's kind of like that scene out of the Seinfeld episode. And we live in a chaotic world. But Micah in chapter 5, the fifth verse says, and he will be their peace. You know, the angel that came to those shepherds out in that field said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men. And it's not that peace, the absence of fighting, the absence of hate, none of that, because Christ says that's going to be with us to the end of the world. But the peace he's talking about is our relationship with God is now right. The proof of that is in the manger. So when the angels are saying, peace to you, and that's repeated, by the way, I think just about every time angels appear to men, they always say, fear not, and they talk about peace from God, saying, the relationship is now right. He carries our burdens, he lifts our anxieties, and he takes away our sin. Found a neat little quote to end with. It says, for this child has given us the incredible gift of strength, security, and peace. In all the circumstances of this day, know the meaning. God has become as we are to give you strength, security, peace, and salvation. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting.